Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Building Successories. I am producer Seth Cooper, and joined alongside, as always, by Anne Donnelly. And Anne, we're going to make the most of being able to sell marketing.
Well, actually, today is beyond selling. So that there are other uses for your digital marketing channels. Because I know we're always talking about, you know, how to get more leads and how to increase sales. But I think that a lot of people want to do business with an organization that's doing more than just selling to them. And also, there's a lot of other things that you need to do within your organization that you can use your digital marketing channels for that you might not be making the most of it. So if we look at some of the things that are kind of for your customers and are a way to build engagement and relationships with your customers, but aren't like directly selling. So there's things like customer service, support, you have articles on your website, you know, that people can go on and read and find out how to use what they're purchasing from you better, how-tos, case studies, background information, you know, so a lot of businesses think of doing that, but then the smaller businesses might not. And just think how much time it would save you, like answering these questions or having to email out documents and things like that. If you have that already on your website, you know, and that's a good post-purchase kind of service, you know, sending out emails, have a drip email campaign, like I talked about in the last episode, whereas once someone's made a purchase, they get number one email, you know, that's like, you know, thank you for your purchase. Here's a one way that you can use this product better.
Which is different than the basic, hey, thanks for your order. Here's your order number and here's your tracking information.
Yeah, like a little bit more engaging with them. You know, it's going to solidify that relationship with them and keep them more engaged with you and your brand. And use it for community building, right? Because again, you're wanting to keep them engaged. So tell them about your, you know, email marketing, you know, newsletter that's going to be helpful for them even after they've purchased from you. And your social media channels also, you know, keep them engaged on there. Encourage them to post about you and your product on there and to do reviews. We've discussed this before. You know, post purchase emails to encourage people to give reviews and not just right after, but on an ongoing basis, because people will be thinking they'll do it and then they might not do it. You got to catch them at the right time. You know, like they might be like just getting into their car and quick check their emails and get your newsletter, you know, and they're like, oh, I'll do that later, but they're never going to do that later. So your next email should sort of reinforce that. Then you might catch them when they're at their desk and then they're in a better position to do that. You know, so it's using your email marketing to remind people, you know, to give a testimonial, give a review, you know, give you feedback too. Like, how's it going? I got a phone call. You know, this is relevant, but like not directly to digital marketing. I got a phone call from the pharmacy and I thought they're going to be like, oh, there's a problem with your insurance or, you know, like the usual kind of like we can't put through your. And she's like, oh, that prescription that you just started a month ago, how's it going? Do you have any questions? And I'm like, well, that was nice. You know, so, you know, it's that extra kind of attention and personal aspect to it that just kind of helps solidify your relationship with people. And then you might eventually go on to sell to them. You know, but for now, it's just about service, giving good customer service and keeping the door open for, like, say they may have some negative feedback that they'll come to you and not just go talking to other people about it so that you can respond to it.
And the good thing, too, is now you're not panicking when that phone number comes across your phone either.
Yeah, because there's good stuff coming. So, and I know I wrote an article maybe a year ago about using your website for recruitment purposes. Because a lot of people just don't look at that. They might have like a careers page or job listings. Like so many people now are using Indeed and other websites like that. But having an HR aspect to your website. It could be useful for current employees as well. Like, you can have a whole section. Like, you can have a password protection. You know, some people, bigger companies have, like, employee portals and things like that. But you can do that on a smaller scale. But as far as recruitment is concerned, you know, don't just have, like, a form for people to fill out, you know, or to download an application, but also have interesting information about how you treat your employees. So it could be, you know, employee of the month, you know, the different benefits, like videos of your employees talking about what it's like to work there. You know, because right now people are complaining about that there's so much competition to get good staff. So include information, like, not only just about the jobs that are open, but maybe about all of the potential jobs there, so that you're getting, you might get in someone that's really good for a job that's not open at the moment, but might be open down the line. So at least you got somebody in touch with you. They might be a great candidate. Like, when I was at a conference last month, one of the speakers was, like, very successful. He was, like, in the company that started Booking.com. You know, very, very successful. And he said, like, his job now in the company, he's not in the day-to-day operations. He's got great people that do all that. But he's always out and about looking for good people to work there. And he says he just has conversations, kind of sees how passionate they are. So if your website is a portal for people like that to get in touch with you, you know, then that way you can keep, you know, keep a file of, like, potential good candidates for when openings do come open. But also, like, maybe it's the time to bring somebody on board like that that could help, you know, with your organization.
We also have mentioned kind of making sure that your marketing adds up to what it's supposed to be. We mentioned, you know, marketing seasons last episode, kind of very similar too. It might be time to take a look and see maybe what's working, what's not working. And maybe if you need to bring somebody on board for that, maybe you start to kind of make a platform and make sure that you're able to achieve what you're looking to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that larger corporations often have that smaller ones don't and maybe should is, like, they have shareholder section. Like, have an area for potential investors, if, because you might be looking for investors down the line. You might be looking for partnerships, right? Or vendors, even attracting in the best vendors. You know, so if you've got good information about your organization, now, obviously not as prominent as your selling area of your website, but having that additional information can be a great way to just increase awareness of your organization. It may help with selling down the line because people then know more about you as an organization, but definitely can be a benefit if you are at some point looking for investors or looking for to set up partnerships, even if it's just like an informal partnership to do some marketing. Because I know I'm always like pushing that kind of fact, like look for potential partners to expand your reach. So having good information on the website, like a lot of people already have, like, say the logos of like who they work with. You know, so include some of that information.
Whether that's down at the bottom or maybe on the top of the page. You get it.
But again, you can have like case studies and stories about like the positive aspects of how these things have worked for you. And just giving potential customers a wider range of information about what a great business you are, but also potential partners, potential vendors, potential funding people. Also community section, because everybody knows now that like charitable giving and having sort of a community aspect to your business is a good selling point, but it's also good for potential employees too, because people, if they have that kind of mindset, they want to work with someone that has that kind of mindset. They want to do business with someone that has that kind of mindset. So there's certain businesses like Common Roots that have the Common Roots Foundation, right? So they've set up a whole foundation and they have a section on their website for that that's showing how a certain amount of their profits go into the foundation, but that also they hold events to raise money specifically for the foundation. And so they talk about the different organizations that they're funding. They talk about the different events that they're holding. Like, they even did like a cleanup of the Bitar Byway. You know, so they're like giving to the community, and the community gives back because they're so grateful of the community support they had when their brewery burned down. So, you know, they're giving back to the community, but they're just community-minded people. You know, so it's, that's, like I said, it's a way to show potential customers more about your business that could be a good way for them to decide to work with you, and for potential staff also. But it's just good for the overall community too. And it's probably, you know, like, the owners are very passionate about this. Like, it's not like an ingenuine at all. Like, they're so genuine and they're so passionate about it. And I've met a lot of business owners in this area, like Hunt Company, the builders, Amy and Juan Gonzalez. They are so passionate about their causes. They're passionate about veterans, you know, and they do a lot to support their things that they care about in the community, and they want other people, and they do what they can to help other organizations to also work at that level, because that means a lot to them.
I think it also sees that you're willing to work with somebody or partner with somebody that shows their personality and has, you know, a smile on their face when they get to work, or when they get to see kind of the impact they've made on the community. And I think that goes a long way, is maybe you're looking to work with them but you're kind of unsure, but then something happens, you're going, okay, there's the green light, there's the light on in the head, I'm ready to work with them.
Yeah. And brands like this, especially someone like Common Roots, because like the brewery is so popular, craft beers are so popular, so it's an industry that people are really passionate about, and so they would have a lot of followers on their social media, and then they can use this for good. So they can get the word out about their causes, but also about other things going on in the community. So it's like using the clout that you have, the authority that you have as a brand, to help others along the way. And as they say, a rising tide benefits all ships. Is that the way it goes? Right?
Right.
So, you know, you want to help the others in your community. So whether it be nonprofits, whether it's other businesses, you know, helping others, using your digital marketing channels to benefit others as well. Supporting and promoting your industry. You know, the more prominent your industry is, the more benefit it's going to be to you as part of that industry as well. So you might be in an industry that others might not understand that well. I recently spoke with the owners of AirBest Industries, right? So they're a very successful multinational business that's working out of Glens Falls. And they're doing a lot to promote Glens Falls, but a lot of people don't understand what they do. They build monitors for like industrial uses that track like vibration and like potential performance issues and downtime. So I didn't understand fully what they did until I went in there and spoke with them. But so their website can provide lots of information about what they do, about their industry. They also have a lot of informational videos that they do that also help educate people. So they're like to encourage people to get into STEM, because like engineering is an important role in their business. So they want to encourage as many people to get into engineering as possible. So the videos that they put out also help to inform people about the benefits of going into STEM and getting into engineering and other different types of careers that are relevant to their business, because they feel that's only going to help them in the future. So I said that's another important use that you can use your digital channels for.
And there's also so many people, you reach out to these businesses and maybe you think that they offer maybe one type of service. You get to talking with them and it actually turns out there's multiple tools in their basket.
Yeah, absolutely. One other thing about the education, though, is and careers, like Tourism Northern Ireland is another good example of this because they were really struggling. Like, they're a small country, right? They've been given a hindrance in that with the UK leaving. So some people may not understand this, but like Northern Ireland and there's the Republic of Ireland are all on an island of Ireland together. But Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom. It's a whole different country, right? So when the United Kingdom left the EU, that left a part of this little island of Ireland that's not part of the EU, where so there's not as easy travel for EU people to come and go, where people can freely go into the Republic of Ireland from the EU, other EU countries. They can't as freely go into Northern Ireland. Same thing for working. Because you can work in other EU countries easily. Like, so my sons that are, you know, Irish resident and Irish citizens could go work in Spain very easily.
Sure.
Where someone from Northern Ireland could not do as easily. So, but Northern Ireland tourism, it's a big growing tourism industry, have trouble getting in people. Just like people need J-1 visas when they come over here, right, to work in the tourism industry or work in other areas too. So they had a big program of why, you know, a series of videos and training on why you would want to get into the tourism industry. You know, so they use that. Now they're an agency that's to promote tourism and people coming into Northern Ireland. So they're not just a business, but they are using their digital channels. But the other members, the other, you know, businesses in the area are also sharing and contributing to these this program. So what other ways? So we talked about partnership, and think about the future. You know, don't just be single-minded and narrow-minded into what you need right now. Like, I need customers right now. Think about future customers, you know, young people that may not be ready to use your product now, but there might be some sort of content that you can provide to them that's going to get them thinking about you, whether it's interested in a career in your industry or whether it's being potential customers down the line.
Part of the recruitment process, kind of figuring things out, right? And it's always, even if something is going the right way now, it might not necessarily go the right way in a month. And that's where, you know, you always have to have your eyes peeled of new opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. And like when we were, you know, I always hate to keep talking about the pandemic, but it has taught us that like almost anything could happen. And you need to be prepared and plan ahead. But also, like, a significant event like that changes a lot of the way that we work. And we've talked about that in previous episodes. I think when we were talking about the different generations, that, like, the way people work is very different, you know, when there's a big sort of event like that, you know, whether it's a war. So that's what I was thinking when the pandemic hit. I was thinking this must be what it was like when they were going through World War II. You know, and things significantly changed. Like people couldn't travel like they used to travel, and they didn't have products and things that they used to have. So, you know, every few years there's some sort of worldwide event that, you know, causes changes that people have to learn to adapt to.
It's also super important that during the pandemic, business models are changing in the year or whatever. Well, business models, and we're literally pivoting as different stages were being unrevealed.
Yeah, absolutely. And it causes people to react in certain ways, like of distrust or panic or, you know. So you have to communicate with your audience. And, well, another use that I was thinking of, too, that is kind of to do with selling, is to use your digital channels for market research. So whether it's just, you know, if you have a product, you might not be sure if it's ready to go to market yet, but you might want to just maybe put it out there, put some information about there on your digital channels and see what people have to say about it. You know, like, yeah, I want that. You know, when can you get it out? you know, get it available, or like, really, like, that's what you're thinking of doing, kind of thing, you know. So test the waters using your digital marketing channels. Technology is changing so quickly too. So like, on top of there being like worldwide, you know, catastrophic events, you know, just the fact that technology and the way we do things does seem to be changing very quickly. You know, use your digital marketing channels as listening tools as well to see like what your audience is talking about. You know, so it's not always just putting out a message and looking for replies, but, you know, go on to, you know, different Facebook groups and different websites to read about what is going on, you know, in your industry, in your region, so that you can keep on top of what's going on.
If you found the information in this podcast useful, go to playcentric.com and see how we can work together to take your business to the next level. That's playcentric.com. In the second part of this episode of Building Success Stories, I wanted to talk about the power of partnership. In the previous part of this episode, I talked about the different ways you could use your digital marketing, and finding partners is one of them. But over the years, I've seen with my clients and others in the regions that I've worked in, that when people are competitive and don't work together with others in their area and in their industry, that just stifles the possibilities for everyone. But when people would work together, it really helps to build even a demand for what they're doing. And it definitely builds awareness and opportunities. So for example, I just saw online that Kinsale in Ireland, it's a beautiful seaside town. I used to love going there, but I had the opportunity that I was very grateful for to work with the Kinsale Chamber of Commerce. I did a revamp of their original website. So this is like 20 plus years ago. So I got them onto WordPress. They're probably still using the base of that website now because WordPress is just so flexible. But working with the chamber and working with the businesses in that area helped me to see the benefit of partnership and that in a few ways. They twin with Newport, Rhode Island. So Kinsale and Newport recently celebrated their 25th year of their twinning. And what they do is every other year, they go to one town or the other and they have an event. And it's often like a cook-off. So like the top chefs from each of the towns, because Newport's known for its food. It's also known for sailing. And that's what they have in common with Kinsale. And so like the top chefs from each town would go and they'd have like a cook-off. And being foodie cities, they often have different food events, competitions, festivals that they would often travel between the two and participate in them together. So it's been a very good partnership in that they have these opportunities to add in extra events, to get extra publicity, to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the twinning of Kinsale and Newport. They actually went to the White House. So imagine that kind of publicity. They unveiled their new whiskey cabinet. I'm reading off of the Kinsale advertiser. So it was a whiskey, and they did a special Kinsale crystal created a decanter. So like, imagine the publicity that would come off of that. Kinsale has its good food circle. So a lot of towns have these food trails or craft beer trails, craft beverage trails, because now you've got the ciders and wines, and they're just booming. And it's a great way to show people everything that your town or region has to offer. So it's giving them more of a reason to come visit. But it's not only a boom for tourism and the leisure industries, but it's also a way for you to work together and trade in other ways because you're getting to know people and know different types of businesses. But also people might even move between the areas. Like I had a friend in Clonakilty who was from Valdshaft, which is the town they're twinned with. So she got to know the people through the twinning events and activities. And she decided to move to Clonakilty and she ended up getting married and staying there. So it just opens up so many opportunities between businesses and organizations in the areas that are twinned and are working together. Not just the marketing, but just so many more opportunities. And it opens up people's minds and thinking to these partnerships, to these different regions. You can share ideas of what worked, what things you've tried to promote your areas, and just, you know, a sharing of ideas as well as business between yourselves. And another example of businesses working together, like in the craft brewing industry, they seem to be very open to collaboration and working together. But I think they feel that like a lot of them are quite small and that they're not going to satisfy everyone's needs. Plus, I think maybe not the average consumer, but the very loyal consumers like to try different things and like to, you know, go on a brewery trail, go to these brew fests and things like that. So they often work together. And one great example is Common Roots Brewery that's based where I live in South Glens Falls. And they helped out a new business that was considering starting up and went to them for advice. So Dancing Grain Brewery, which is located just south of here. They had a farm. They were looking at diversification, and she had the idea of starting a brewery. And they came in as advisors, but also as investors. But after a couple of years, they recently announced that they were done with the investment and that she was ready to go on her own. And even the fact that they made that announcement showed like how supportive they are. And they were really proud of that kind of partnership and how well she's doing. And it just helps like the whole region and the whole industry in this region. So look for opportunities like that where you can help others or others that could help you to help build your own businesses, but also the industry and your region, and use opportunities like creating events, creating marketing opportunities, writing content for each other's websites and social media, sharing each other's content, especially social media posts, because, you know, that's one of my pet peeves is that people never share stuff when they should, because it would just help everyone's reach and help the algorithm. But also find opportunities for events and special offers, just to build awareness and get people to your region, get people thinking about your region, get people thinking about your industry, and just having this overall environment of collaboration, innovation, that's going to help everybody's businesses and help the region overall. And that was sort of the theme of Playcentric when I picked the name and wanted to work with regional development. It was because seeing during COVID how everyone worked together, like even competitors that might not have considered working together before, sat down and worked together plans for surviving, for sharing, for getting people in, for how they could work with the government to make things work better for everyone. And we need to carry that forward because that's really the way of business of the future.